Today's a fun show. If you need a workout, we provide a couple for you to try. We talk about some KF stories that continue to illuminate how incredible he is on a personal level. And the majority of the show, we talk about, what does the life of a strength coach look like? How many hours are they working a day, a week? Are they overworked, underpaid? All of these things. Plus some discussion about the Washington game and looking ahead to Michigan State. Let's have a day. Let's go. Into the 5105 show, brought to you by strengthcoachnetwork.com.
Ooh, there you go. Love that.
The official presenting sponsor right now, I just decided, of the 5105 show.
Let's go.
You run this whole thing, huh?
Whole thing, just like you with this.
I think yours is a little bit more official.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
What do you do? I don't know if you were obviously the assistant coach to Coach Doyle when I played and you were at Iowa, and then you went on to become the head guy for Towson.
Yep.
Fired at Towson because that's how it happens for staffs. If you're a part of Division I sports, teams don't win and you get axed.
Yep.
Ax them. They don't know what they're doing. I've got a whole list of places to go today. How many times does a staff get fired, football staff, and a strength staff retain their spot?
About less than 1% when you're in FBS or if you're in the NFL. You're at about the 1%.
The head coach is going to bring in their guys.
And yeah, that's because the AD is going to be like, hey, we got to give you what you need to win and to be successful. You want your strength guy. Here you go.
Yeah. It's tough. Tough gig.
It is. It's tough when you don't know that that's the rules, but if you get into it knowing that that's the rules, you're like, all right, man, this is just the way that it is. And it's like at the FBS and at the NFL level, it's like, all right, cool. You're going to pay me my salary not to work because you're letting me go without cause. Cool.
True. I guess that is true.
You know, it's like you're just getting rid of me because the head football coach wants their guy. Cool. Contractually, that's a fire without cause. You're paying me the rest of my salary not to work. All right, cool. Now I have time to figure out my next move.
It's a good consolation for.
Correct.
Because, yeah, it's an industry that is sort of a Wild West a little bit. Yeah.
You just got to go into it knowing that. That's all.
So that was 20. When did that happen?
23.
Wow. So that was way more recently than I thought. That was just last year.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been like the off season of last year. Very beginning.
It happened at the end of the winter phase, so during spring break of 23.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You got through the winter phase.
Got through the winter phase. I thought I was safe.
What?
Uh-huh.
What?
Thursday of spring break.
Safe? Did it all happen at the same time? Like head coach was fired then and then?
No. The head coach got his contract ended at the end of the season, so FCS, we end – because the FCS first round of the playoffs is Thanksgiving. So he got his contract was not renewed middle of Thanksgiving. New head coach gets hired December. I work with him. I go through all the meetings and everything. And then Thursday of spring break, they tell me you're not allowed to work with the football team. You're allowed to train the pro day guys because I had been training the pro day guys. You're allowed to still work with the track and field team. You're still on strength and conditioning staff. You know, I was helping out the other teams. I just was not allowed to work with the football team.
Wow, that's wild. Isn't it crazy? I was very briefly in like the what I call the real world. I live in a fantasy world now. I feel like I'm on my own. But I worked in a local gym for about 5 months.
It was Elite Edge, correct?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yep.
And I got pulled into the office. I think it was like the second Friday of February. About a month before COVID hit and everything shut down. I'd love to blame it on COVID and that's why I lost my job or whatever. But like the manager and head coach of that location brought me in and he's like, hey, sucks, but you know, we're gonna actually have to let you go. in a couple weeks. Like this, you know, we've got 2 weeks left with you. He gave me all the excuses of why. And it was so jarring. Like, thought I had been doing so great, and maybe I had been. And I always trained after my shift. So I'd work the morning shift, and then everybody goes home. It's middle of the day. There's no classes. And I'm like training, and I had just been fired from this job. And now I'm doing my workout in the gym that I was just fired from. And I remember just sitting on the bike, like doing my warm up, like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, that's such a crazy feeling. Had you already been working with the Strength Coach Network before this happened?
Yeah. So pretty much right after I finished my PhD in May of 2020, I started working for Keir because I had all this extra time on my hands and I was learning through the site. And then I was able to start working for him while I was already a member.
And what is the pitch? What is Strength Coach Network?
We help strength coaches keep their certification. So now strength and conditioning coaches, you have to be certified to be employed. So like Cody, Ray, the whole strength staff at Iowa, they hold the certification from the Collegiate Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association.
Yep.
And they took the exam, they passed it, they're certified. But every 3 years, you have to continue to prove that you're learning with your CEUs. Mm-hmm. Coaches can get CEUs from us because we have 180 webinars on every topic in strength and conditioning in every sport.
Damn. And so you're just an alternative. Does CSCCA offer their own CEUs?
They have a national conference that you can get CEUs from.
Okay.
But sometimes coaches can't make it because, like you guys, remember, we're still training when the conference goes on. So there was times where, you know, the whole staff would go down and there'd be one coach that would stay and train you all or we'd all take rotation.
Yeah.
So to help coaches out with that, if they have, you know, a reason that they can't travel, or let's say that they have a birth of a new kid and they can't travel and they need CEUs.
Yeah.
Well, now they can get CEUs and they can learn from some of like literally the best names in strength and conditioning. DeMarco's done 2 presentations, nice. Brian Mann, some of the legends in the field of strength and conditioning. Now coaches can actually have really good education.
So you've got the CSCCA, you got NSCA.
Yep.
Which is great. I don't even know what ASCA is.
That's the Australian Strength Coaches Association. So we have members in 40 different countries.
Wow. Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is your day job. This is you. You're like managing these relationships, getting more and more seminars or webinars up, creating classes.
And then doing everything with the podcast and the social media. So that's 80% of my day. And then the other 20% is as a volunteer coach at Centennial and then working when needed at Goldfinch, the private sector gym. And that's kicking up even more now. It was super busy at the start of this year. And then now when kids went into school, it slows back down, but still working there.
Sweet.
Which is how I'm, you know, I did. Oh, you'd be proud of this one. I don't know if you'd be proud of the time, but we had the CrossFit class was going on while I was training athletes last night.
Jeff Woody is over there, right?
Yep. Yeah. Jeff and then Sean. So they own that one together. And it's funny because I get to play the Iowa card versus the Iowa State guys that are over there. And, you know, I'm the minority and it's fine. Like, I don't care. I'm still, you know, Hawks by a million.
And Jeff was a big, I don't know. This is sort of a weird tangent that we're going on the Iowa 5-10-5 show, but Jeff is from Southeast Polk or went to Southeast Polk. And as a younger kid, you know, like coming up 7th, 8th grade, like I knew who Jeff Woody was. You know, he was like one of the high school studs. There were several like guys around the state that I was like, oh, I'm going to be a linebacker. Like I'm going to Iowa or Iowa State. I'm going to play linebacker. I wanted to be Josie Jewell. Right. And then you have like your guys that you look around the state and they're like leading the state in tackles each year. Woody, I think he was a running back too in high school. He was just a stud at Southeast Polk. And so I knew who he was. He obviously went on to go to Iowa State. And then he's done some media stuff as well, but I've never actually met him, but I feel like I like know him or like, you know, whatever. But now he does he got into CrossFit for a while or still is maybe. I don't know.
That now the perfect reason for you to come up to Goldfinch and get
I should come up. Yeah.
Just come in and get a lift. It's right. It's less than a mile from my house. And whatchamacallit. So yesterday at the end of their training session, they had a 500 calorie row. And I was like, all right, I'm going to hop in and do it.
Yeah.
And I got 134 and I wanted to vomit. Like, I died at the end. Like, I was on a great pace to beat the record for the day was 122. And I was on pace to beat it. And at like 45, 50 seconds, it was just like,
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not conditioned on a rower, it can
hadn't done anything truly lactate like that. The closest thing was maybe doing a kickboxing round or jujitsu, but like even at that, you're not going the entire time. Like you can bounce around and get energy.
And there's a localized fatigue that a rower, that a machine creates, or a movement pattern like that creates, that just, if your body is not accustomed to it, you could start to feel sick real bad. 500 meter row is actually a great little fitness test for anybody that out there, you know, you can find a rower pretty much at any stock gym or your YMCA and just go rip on that thing for 500 meters. I think my best 500 it's probably somewhere, maybe 121, 122, somewhere around there. Much more disgusting than that is the 2K test, which is the standard for Olympic rowing. So you're holding that 500, your 500 pace is sort of what you do rowing workouts on, right? If you ever do intervals, I held a 138 pace for four in a row for 2K. I think I ended up rowing, it was like a 130 or a 634 2K. For a guy who's 5'10", that's not bad. Height really matters in rowing.
So much matters.
If you look at any Olympic rower, they are built a very specific way, and it's like 6'4", 6'5", and just long, because the range of motion just matters. 5'10", not great for rowing. DeMarco always gives me props when we do rowing workouts. He's like, man, you can row, dude. I'm like, yeah, for a little guy, I can rip a little bit. It's a brutal workout. But I should definitely come up to Goldfinch. When they opened that, I kind of snooped around and was like, oh, that's cool. It's got a new little spot up there. So here we are, 11 minutes into the show. We found out what Justin does. Doctor. Gives credits to coaches all over the country, does some volunteer coaching. Good guy, just all around good guy, working with Centennial Local High School. They're doing well, aren't they?
They are. They're in a little bit of a push right now. Got to win these last 2 weeks to get into the playoffs, but sitting
do
at
they have
5-2, from what I've heard, you know, losing to Dowling and losing to Southeast Polk. Like, those are obviously two good teams, but you still have to be able to beat those teams. But last year, got into the playoffs at 4-5. You know, they were literally the 16th team and made it to the round of four. We've been telling them, like, listen, the playoffs start now. Win and you're in. It's that simple.
Kind of like that for the Hawks, too.
Agreed. You know, and especially looking at like what Michigan State's going to be looking at. I mean, Michigan State's 3-3, their next six games, right? Michigan State, they're looking ahead. They're saying, all right, we have three ranked opponents, three that aren't ranked. And the three that aren't ranked, one of them is us.
They've got a bit of a grinder.
Correct. So like, if you think that they're not, they've got this game circled. And like, so what you're telling the guys in the weight room this week is, hey, can we avoid this roller coaster of win, lose, right?
I said to Kevin on Sunday night's recording of the recap podcast from this weekend that there is not going to be a need to create urgency the rest of this year, because we're through the non-conference games. They've already lost twice. Playoff is obviously the goal now for a team like Iowa. Being in playoff contention, or at least the conversation, is the goal at the end of the season. And this creates these goals, and who they play creates parameters for sort of how you wake up on a Monday morning, or I guess you go into the complex on a Sunday and you're like, okay, what is, like, I hate to say that not every week is urgent, but like there are some weeks where you're like, okay, there's a little bit of a different speed we're working at this week. I remember the week that we got blown out by Penn State. We come back. It's Michigan week. That Michigan week of practice, when we did upset them in Kinnick that following Saturday, it had a bit of a different speed to it. There was a necessary intensified focus that week of like, we better get it together or we're going to get embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. And I just don't think that the coaches will have to manufacture it too much. Michigan State, prime time matchup. You don't think somebody at their place is gonna bring the heat when they've got a nationally televised game in the 6:30 slot night game? Like, they're going to be juiced.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking into, I don't care if it's Michigan State, rebuild, new staff. You're walking into a buzzsaw there. You can't get caught on that, right? Wisconsin has been smoking people. Like, they're looking a little better than they did in the beginning of the year. Luckily, we get them at home, I believe. We get Nebraska at home. Nebraska, you know, they got the five-star, the quarterback. Like, you know, like their rules finally got them on a path to probably make a bowl game for the first time in about 40 years over there. So, who else do we have on our schedule? We've got – there's a few
Northwestern.
Others. Oh, Northwestern.
UCLA at the Rose Bowl location.
That one, you're going across country. Team's not doing so well when they come across country. The including Washington this past weekend, they got caught. Ohio State goes and gets caught. The record, I think, for teams that are traveling that, you know, from the Pac-12 to Big Ten country this year is like the road team is like 1-14 right now. I think Minnesota's the only one that's gone and gotten it done. Indiana went and smacked UCLA earlier this year too.
Ooh, yeah.
But you know, that's a new game. You know, who knows what that brings and travel and all that. Northwestern and Maryland, both teams who you're like, I don't know on paper, but
I mean, I'm pretty sure Northwestern has a winning record against Iowa in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Northwestern always finds a way to get it done, and they go to Maryland, which is the week before, I believe, the Nebraska matchup. I think that's week 11. That's a little bit of a trap matchup where you
and that locker room is terrible. You want to talk about something that'll lull you to sleep. That locker room as a visitor is worse than pretty much most high schools.
How is it so bad? It is literally a middle school locker room.
I know. When I was there on staff, when we had our scrimmages, like, you know, white versus red scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like, we were in that locker room and I'm just like, this is like awful. And then obviously we went there in 14.
It's almost a crime that they make teams like there's got to be some level of
standardization.
There's got to be a standard of like oppositional care that you give the opponent. Like, there's got to be some minimum operating standard. Like, you can't, it's hard to even move around and do your game day routine.
You literally tape outside. Like, we did that at Towson when we played there too, because it is that bad.
Unbelievable. Them, Northwestern was bad. I mean, now it's going to be better. They've got this weird lake stadium now.
If I'm them, I'm not getting rid of that because they never used to fill out the other one. It's smaller capacity, so you don't have, like, you look full and you're on the water.
That's pretty sick.
Like, what are you doing? Just keep it there.
Our producer, Grant, and I have been talking about how, like, this weird makeshift temporary lake stadium is like giving them an advantage. They are like, you do not want to go there and play. Like, even Indiana was like only won by like 2 touchdowns when they went there. They'll play everybody close. Northwestern's a weird team. I wanted to talk about this week, aside from what you do, what you're actually doing on a daily basis. What is the week of a strength coach look like? What is the weekly schedule? What does Monday look like? How early are we getting up? Is it really that bad?
I mean, so right now it's all going to depend on where you're at in the totem pole. So like Cody and Ray, they're not doing the setup as the assistants. So like back when I was there, us slaps. So
is Cody number two?
Cody's number two. So Ray's one, Cody's two. So Ray's in what Doyle was and Cody's where Ray was.
Cool.
So like back in the day.
Real quick though, I just want anybody who sees the hair combed over just beautifully, the aviator sunglasses,
this is so true.
You know, all blacked out. He's like, Cody is, he looks so good, man. I saw him on the broadcast the other day and he still is just like, he's so fit. Oh my God. He's just like professional looking over there on the sideline.
If I had hair like his, I wouldn't shave my,
I would
get rid of it. No, I have awful hair.
Every single guy in the staff, bald, Cody, just flaunting perfect hair. Oh my God.
So like those guys, they're not doing the setup, right? Like that's what the younger assistants and the interns are doing, which is what we did. So those guys are setting up and they're getting in at 4:30. They're waking up at 4 because the whole thing is like, if we want to expect you all to be prepared, we have to be prepared.
Yeah.
So we want setup done by 5:30. So that way, when you guys start rolling in at 5:30, 5:40 to get shakes and stuff, you see the weight room is set up. Hey, the coaches are prepared. They can ask us to be dialed in because you players can see that we're dialed in.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're waking up that early on a day before the lift. Will you sleep in the day, like on a Tuesday when there's no practice? Yeah, you'll sleep in. You'll probably come in, you know, if it's not your coverage day. Because that was one of the things that I know they're still going to do. But what Doyle was really good about is you had a coverage day. We're like, all right, you got five people on staff. Hey, you know, one of you, you're always first in and last out on this day. But then that meant, and he's like, listen, don't guard your desk. Do what you need to do. But yeah, like if you're done with your job and you can leave at two, leave at two. I don't care because I know that you come in super early.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tuesdays you'll come in a little bit later because practice, it's only practice. And then we'll do stuff like go play noon hoops, right? And like bond with
Did you guys go play hoops?
Yeah. And we would always, and we'd go with like the ops guys or the GAs. And that was always fun because you're building that relationship with the Maxes, the Bens, the Broads, Chris Ruth. And you're playing with, you know, playing basketball with both Branses. Like that was a super fun time, right? And you're playing with
Tom and Terry
were like the rebound gods, right?
What?
Like
just,
that was so much fun.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And we'd play, sometimes we'd actually play on Carver Hawkeye's basketball court.
Oh,
sometimes we'd play in the practice courts, but we'd always go over there. And it was good to build relationships with the other side of campus. And so, you know, you do that, you go back to the weight room, and that is where you're reading, you're doing your continued education, right? And so because I've done it, I know that coaches want good con ed. They want to be able to get credit for the education they're doing. So, you know, you're reading, you're learning, you're experimenting on different lifts, different protocols, because if you're going to make a suggestion in the staff room, Doyle wants to know, like, why are you making this, right? Yeah. Any head guy, they want to know, like, there's a reason behind it. So, hey, I've read this, I've tried this, here's why I think we should do it. So you're doing that during your day. But yeah, if it's not your coverage day and there's nothing going on, like Tuesdays were the best because there was no team meeting. Mondays and Wednesdays, we had that team meeting before you would all go to film. So we would always stick around. We'd go to the team meal after the team meeting. Tuesdays, there was none of that. So, you know, typically DeMarco and I, we'd leave at like 2 o'clock because we did our job. We'd come in early, leave early. And, you know, we actually would go play like NCAA or something. Right.
Love that.
But like we did our job. We did everything that we needed to do. We still would come in on Thursdays. That's when we would meet as a staff.
Okay. Eventually
we switched it and got coach to meet on Wednesday instead. So that way, if nobody had anything on Thursday, you truly could just come in and lift and leave or not even come in at all. So we could get a break.
I was gonna, cause in my mind, I'm trying to run it through, I guess in the player's mind. And I'd never really thought about this because there's just no other time. You don't give a shit, but there's no other time to think about anything but yourself. And you're trying to just do your own thing. Subconsciously, it felt like you guys just live there, right? Like to the players, which is good. Like you said, you want that to be the feel of like, if we're here, strength coaches are here, they're grinding.
Yep.
And to some extent, the football staff, those guys actually do live at the complex. They don't.
Sometimes, because Coach Ferris got really, really good about being like, hey, Monday, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, yeah, but like by Wednesday, you need to be with your family. Like you need to be out of the building.
Was he?
Yes.
I would love to. I see. That's the side of things I never got like players.
And after Phil, remember Phil had that episode on the field where he got, you know,
bro, I was 10 feet from him.
That's what I'm saying. So like,
forget that.
Because of that, Coach Ferentz is like, you all need, I mean, because KF would exercise. And so like,
oh, KF was in there grinding, baby.
And so remember when Brian and Seth and Phil started doing those complexes, right? And they would run or they'd push the sled. And so like Coach Ferentz was really trying to promote like, hey, take care of your body. Because you need to.
Yeah. God, I love hearing that about KF. It doesn't surprise me. He's always on top of shit.
And here, you want to talk about love KF? I'll never forget this. So it was, whatchamacallit, end of 20, we're getting ready for the, finishing up the, we just win the Pinstripe Bowl. He just tied Hayden Fry for his record, right?
Yep, ties it. My last game, yeah.
Okay. Ties the record. He comes up, he's shaking everybody's hands, shakes my hand, and he's like, hey, Justin, don't worry, I'm going to call that coach, because I was interviewing for a head strength coach job at UMass, and he knew the coach, and Coach Doyle had like, hey coach, you know, could you reach out to this coach for job? Like in the, like, as he's just won that, like, that's how selfless he was, that he's like, hey, don't worry. Like once we get back from this bowl game, I've already reached out to that guy. I will follow up for you on your behalf.
I don't know how he does it.
Me neither.
I don't. There's no way a human can keep track of 150 plus relationships and the details and nuance like you just explained for each one of those relationships, the parents' names of each player, but he does.
I know.
I don't know how he fucking does it. He is a wizard.
And he does it so quickly too, in such a short amount of time.
It's unbelievable.
It's also funny when he introduces himself to people he doesn't know and he's like, hey, I'm Kirk. It's like,
I love when like famous people do that. When did that happen? We went to not this summer, but 23 summer. We went to Tight End U.
Oh,
okay. Kittle got us access, like media access to the event. And like, we went and watched practice and was in the facility and all this stuff. So we got to go down and do a podcast with him. And the Monday, it started on a Tuesday. We got there on Sunday night and went to Georgia's Monday and Tuesday. And Monday, that day before, Barstool was coming out to his place, like Big Cat. And they were coming to do like, Pardon My Take, which is a much bigger podcast than ours, obviously. And so like, all of those guys, Big Cat and the whole crowd, they were coming out to Kittle's, and I'm like, holy smokes. Also, we walked in that Monday morning and David Bakhtiari's there and a couple other NFL guys are there. And, it's just like casual, right? It's just like the Kittle operation is nuts. And Big Cat gets there, they're walking around, and eventually George goes, hey, have you guys met the Barstool guys? And we're like, nah, we're trying to stay out of the way. And he goes, oh, come here. And we go up, and Big Cat is like, oh, hey, I'm what's his real name?
I actually don't know.
I don't either. I do know it, but I forget. He introduces himself. I'm like, I know who you are. Like, yeah, got it. But yeah, KF doing that is hilarious. I don't know how he does it. It doesn't surprise me to hear that he would like harp on like getting home and seeing the families. It's just sometimes those coaches are actually, we had Coach Woods on this summer, and he talked about how like multiple times, Doug, the janitor, would like,
Doug's leave. A man, by the way, too.
Love the man.
Oh my God.
The man. He just would leave.
Pride he has.
Oh, he would leave the complex and like walk by the coach's hallway, and coach would be in there at like midnight, 1 a.m. like finishing up film or doing film or whatever, putting together a playbook, scouting report for the next team. And then Doug would come in at like 6 a.m. and walk by the door again, and coach hadn't moved. Like there was a couple times where that had happened. He said, oh, you're in here early. Wasn't home for long. And Coach Woods didn't have the heart to tell him, like, yeah, buddy, I haven't left.
LeVar, God bless him, but I'll never forget one of the times Max was like, dude, LeVar could get so off track. He's like, just give me what I need, brother. Like,
oh, dude, he can roll. He can
roll. Yeah, he can. And that's where, like, because LeVar and I, you know, we chatted when I was at Towson, and like when he'd be on the road, and like we'd literally, he'd be driving and we'd talk for an hour and a half. And because same thing, like with KF, because he wants to, you know, talk with you and build a, like, my wife and I went over his house one time after we won a game in like 2014 when we were first dating. Like, again, he's just a good, caring person who literally cares about you.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'll never forget. We had like, LeVar is just great. Again, another great human that like will remember you and the people that you've been with, like seeing him at the Every Kick Counts last year, yep. Not this year, but like, yeah.
Crazy. Circling that back around, it felt like you were at the complex all the time. How many hours would you say did you actually work as a, like, when we were there, you were the assistant, you weren't number two. It was Doyle. It was Ray. And then the, you know, Ray was still an assistant, but it was you, Mark, Nick,
Cody,
and yeah. Cody when I was there, at least for the last 3 years or whatever. How many hours in a 7-day week are you working?
You're like, when you add it all up, your average was 60, you know, and it's like, it sounds worse than it is, or maybe it doesn't sound as much as, I don't know what people think.
But that includes, you know, like you having to travel.
That, and that's where it's like, what is considered hours working?
Right.
Is it, okay, the minute I leave the facility and then don't come back, like, all right, because if you consider that, it's a lot more versus like, you know, when you're a coach, it's just part of who you are.
Right.
You know, so it's like, sure, you might leave the facility, but all right, let me leave the facility and go and read over here and get out in the sunshine, or let me go and experiment with this. Like, even going and doing jujitsu or kickboxing, like learning a mentality and a skill from a different group of people that you can then apply with the players, that's still learning and still kind of on the job, but like actual hours in the facility, you know, on an average in season week, you're close to 60, and it's, you know, you're just kind of,
and you know that you're signing up for that.
Correct. And it's, like I said, it's part of who you are. And when you have like these other coaches that have massive salaries, like, your wife and your kids, like your wife doesn't have to work. So she'll take care of the kids. She can come to the facility and train with you and see you, and you can have that relationship and you can go get lunch, or then when she picks your kids up, like, so it's really just more of a truly fluid. This is just part of your life, and it's who you are, and it's embedded in your DNA, and it's fine.
I will say the assistant salaries, and I don't know what they are now, but the assistant salaries, not enough.
No, not even close. They never were. Like, dude, they're not like, again, and like for me, it was like, all right, I was making not nearly as much as the head guy. And I'm like, man, he's making more than like 10 times me. And it's like, that's one of the things where some of the assistants, like, it's just not enough. Like, it really is. Call it what it is. You have the four P's, like, sure, your pay isn't what other people's is, but that is what it is. It could be more. And to me, if I ever did get one of those head P5 jobs, I have my list of coaches that I'd hire, and I would just be like, all right, instead of me making this astronomical amount, like, hey, let's add up what everybody's is.
Yeah.
Let's create real salaries where it's like, hey, I don't need to be this. Let me take care of you all, 'cause I can't be me without you.
100%. Not to mention you do the bitch work, right? A lot.
100%. Loading the prowlers, loading this, all of that. That was us.
Hey, move 14,000 pounds from this side of the facility to the other side of the facility, please.
At 4 in the morning.
At 4 in the morning. I just, like, at a school like Iowa with the budget they have and the work that I saw you guys do, you just said 60 hours, sometimes more. Like, there's no reason that's not a six-figure job for an assistant.
Agreed.
There's no reason.
Agreed.
And anything over that, 100, you know, it's so hard. I don't really subscribe to like certain jobs being more valuable than others. It's a weird concept. It's like, well, you work just as hard for 40 hours as somebody else. Like, how much is that really worth? But like, when it comes to like a standard of living and like what the kind of work you guys were doing and the industry that you were in with that much money,
yep,
there's no reason.
Agreed.
No reason. Speaking of pay, we'll finish on this. This past week, the old Iowa strength conditioning intern thing was posted, as it always is, to Twitter. They always post it. Like, hey, we're looking for people, and I think this round would be technically looking for people for the spring.
Yep.
And people always freak out that it says unpaid position. Can you provide some insight to that? I've gotten into like arguments with on there, or we've talked about it on the podcast, where I'm like, I promise you the value of this position, and like, if you really go in and you put yourself into it, the value is there. But don't they also get, like, there might not be a salary applied to that, but wasn't there like a living stipend? There wasn't a living stipend?
Nah, son.
There wasn't a living stipend for the interns?
Unless that's changed. Nah, son.
Like, but you guys got, okay, so no living stipend, that hurts, but you got to eat food.
Correct. So it's like, you're not going to get an inflow of money, but you're not going to have an outflow. So like, outside of figuring, and if you think about it from this perspective, right? Like, everybody hears that and they freak out, but like, remember this, there's not going to be a lot. The reason that the summer was so competitive to get an internship and why there was more is people that were finishing grad school or finishing undergraduate, they would go in the summer because they quote unquote had nothing else to do. So that was harder because people like myself, I drove from Massachusetts to Iowa, but I did it knowing that, all right, I got to sublet an apartment. I won't have to worry about food. All I got to do is take care of this for a 3-month period of time, get into debt to be able to pay this, but the payoff is worth it at the end. If you think about an unpaid internship from the perspective of tap into the university, there are so many exercise science kids that want to learn what it's like to be a strength and conditioning coach because so many people have no idea. Tap into that, tap into the other colleges around. And now it's a kid that's going to school. They don't need somewhere to live. They don't need to like, and if you want to learn about it, you're going to get paid with food. You're going to get paid with great experience. You'll get gear. And guess what? If you do a great job, they'll start to give you more responsibilities. Guess what? They'll also probably let you come on the sideline. You can start living the life that you want to live. And then you've proven that you're a valuable asset and they'll help you get a job.
I think especially at Iowa, and I'm sure there's other places like this too. I'm biased because it was Iowa, but like you had Doyle, then it was Nick. And there was this network of guys who was like, you know, you had Joel, guys before even Joel, or you were there. I remember my freshman year, there was a couple guys named, what were their names?
Dustin Bethke's now the head assistant at Oregon State.
Dustin. Yep. Is he really? Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So there was, you know, and then you start to know these guys, you get introduced again, like you said, you get this more experience. And then like when it comes time to get a job, oh, now you have Doyle's recommendation. Like that's going to carry a little weight. Yep. Right. So I don't know. That always kills me when people are like, how about you pay the interns? It's like, well, I feel like the unpaid portion of it too draws in a better applicant because you know that they're truly doing it because this is what they want to do with their life. Like they are committed to this. Yep. And I know that sounds like it's 2024. Pay the fucking interns. And yeah, again, there's probably more money for the assistant coaches. There probably is like a small like stipend for the.
Well, here's what the thing too, though, like, because if you just start paying any random intern, people, you're not going to get, like you said about the quality person. But guess what does start to happen? If you stick around let's say you're an intern and you intern your sophomore year and you prove that you're worthy and you stick around you really don't think that they wouldn't find a way to pay you as the quote unquote head intern.
Right.
Come on, people. If you've proven your value, and then guess what happens? You talked about DeMarco, Joel, myself, coach, like Pete Remes, anybody that is on that staff at Iowa was an intern and was their best intern.
Yeah.
Joel was the best intern in the class of 11, got hired in 12. I was the best intern in 12, got hired in 13. DeMarco was the best intern in 13. Like you just go down the line.
Weissman.
Right. So like you intern, you show that you're good. They either hire you in that bullpen position or you go somewhere else and come back because there's a track record of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure. Again, you don't want to just pay any unpaid intern. Let them prove themselves, learn and see why you're good. And then the money will come. Like get great at what you want to do. And then the money will follow. It is that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, people. That's the reality of it. The guy that just popped into my mind was that big German guy, Simon.
Oh my God, Simon. Why are your glutes? Dude, he stayed at Doyle's house for like 2 months because he needed to get a surgery and couldn't work. So
he had some stuff happen to him while he was here. Like there was, man, that guy was crazy.
Fire your glutes. And because he'd say it out of nowhere, he'd just be like, you'd be walking away like, hey, fire your glutes.
It might be the best, you know, firing your glutes, man.
You'll never forget that though. Like this is 10 years later.
I was firing my glutes yesterday. You had the 500 meter row is a good little piece. Something everybody else can go do is one that I did yesterday. It was part of a little qualifier that Nick and I are doing. 12-10-8-6-4-2 front squats at 135. Burpees over the bar.
Oh, geez.
So 12 front squats, drop it, 12 burpees, 10 front squats, 10 burpees, 8 front squats down to 2, 42 reps of each. What do you think a good time on that would be? Take a guess. 42 reps of front squat, 135, 42 burpees over a bar.
12 to 15 minutes, maybe?
I love CrossFit so much. I did it in 311.
My God.
DeMarco went 323 or something. I'm telling you, CrossFit is an insane. You figure out.
I was about to say, like, is it like, I mean, yeah, I guess you're just going. It's as like, fast you're not pacing as you anything. Because I was thinking, like, okay, maybe it was a minute to do it. Like, holy y'all are wild.
Yeah. The acid in your body after you do that in about 3 minutes is bad. The part two of that workout was you rest until the 10-minute mark.
Uh-huh.
And then you do an ascending clean and jerk ladder for time as well. So 10 at 185, 8 at 205, 6 at 225, 4 at 255, 2 at 275.
I don't think people understand that, like, probably the worst part of it is coming back and training after the rest.
Oh, it's so bad?
That's awful.
Yeah. I did the second part, those 30 clean and jerks in 849.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm telling you, CrossFit. I love getting like guesses on workouts from people outside of like who don't do CrossFit often because they're like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. It's like, nah, took 5 minutes.
Do you supplement with sodium bicarbonate?
I don't, but I've considered. It's supposed to like buffer the acid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a PR lotion of sodium bicarbonate.
Does it work?
I don't know if it works or if it's the anecdotal or the placebo effect, but I mean,
either way,
I feel like if I put it on my shoulders, if I go into a kickboxing match or
helps a little bit,
I feel like, man, my shoulders aren't as, and again, you've who knows which
a,
one
you've
it is.
You got it in a lotion?
Yeah, it's called PR lotion, sodium bicarbonate. You just rub it on your shoulders.
I'm buying some right now after we finish this. I need anything I can. I take beta alanine. I do it, you know, creatine, but I haven't done that. I do know some CrossFitters that do it though. They'll hit some right before like a high intensity, like competition. Like, yeah. So I don't know. Thanks for joining 5-10-5 show. You got a couple workouts to go try if you want to really hurt really bad. 500 meter row is brutal. You learned a little bit about being a strength coach today. If you want to be a strength coach, the Division I level, at least you get great meals.
You get fantastic meals. I'm going to give a little selfless plug. I'm writing a textbook for the publisher Cognella on. So they're an exercise science publisher, textbooks, professional books. And the book is literally going to be about how to navigate your career in strength and conditioning.
You like that? We got to get you one of these shirts.
Amen.
Known for great D.
I mean, IDWA.
We got it. And we got to get you a Hawks by Million flag too for your office.
Hey, hook it up, man. I appreciate it.
I'll send it your way. So you're writing a textbook and you what?
It's about it's called How to Navigate Your Career in Strength and Conditioning. A lot of people, like in school, you're really only taught college or pro. But in reality, there's college, there's pro, there's high school, there's tactical, and there's private sector.
Yeah.
And then within college, there's football, basketball. There's even some one-offs like baseball, softball, and wrestling. In different parts of the country, you can be that specific only, or you can work in Olympic sports. So it's written for 200 or 300 level classes, and it'll be coming out about a year from now, actually.
Wow. That's big time.
Yeah, man.
Wrote a textbook, writing a textbook. Something
so that's also what I'm doing.
Something I will never, ever fucking do. But when that comes out, we'll definitely pump it. All right, 5-10-5 show. Hopefully we lead into a nice – you've got plenty of time to listen to this episode, even if you couldn't catch it on Friday. It's a 6:30 game, I think, or 7, you know, primetime game. You got all day Saturday to listen to us. Start pregaming. A few brewskis, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's going to be – I don't like these. I like a 9:30 bedtime, and I gotta watch this game until 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then come down after that. So, all right. We'll be back next week. See you then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.